It's 88.5 Sky Daniels here with Beth Orton. Beth, welcome to the station.
Thank you.
We're glad that you've gotten to see more than just the studios of KCSN. You actually got to romp through the Orange Grove.
I did romp through your Orange Grove, it's true.
Feed the ducks.
Feed the angry ducks.
They squawk, don't they?
They're mental.
They quack pretty loud.
They're on crack. They're quacking for their cracking.
If you don't throw them a pellet, you're going to hear about it.
Yeah, right. And if you do, you're going to hear about it. My goodness.
It's the squeak. I guess it's the squeaky wheel that gets the pellet. It's been about 6 years, right?
Yeah.
And from what I've read, you know, you decided to deal with life. You had children. You were a single mom for a while. You got married. You went through the usual label, you know, stuff that artists go through. And at one point, were you seriously considering calling it a day as a performer?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I consider it a lot in terms of the fact that, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. And sometimes I just think, do I want to add to the noise? And if I am, is it going to be like, you know, something worth saying? And so I think there was a consideration in that way. There was also the consideration of, okay, I've done this for quite a while. Is it really something I want to continue doing? And you know, what do I add to it? What does it add to my life? And just that kind of consideration, yeah. And now I have two children now, but at that point I had a daughter, and I was like, is this the life that's, you know, I don't know. You just reconsider things at certain points in your life, and that was one of the many things that I reconsidered. And the thing was that I just kept making music, you know, and that's the deciding factor, really, was the music kept coming. And as I went along, then I met my husband, and I played him some songs, and he was like, these are really good songs. I was like, you think? And so, yeah. And then, you know, signed with Auntie, and they heard some songs eventually, and they were like, these are really good songs. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So, you know, I guess signing with Auntie was a pretty big decision, too, in terms of the fact, I guess I'm going to continue doing this, you know. And
knowing that the muse was still visiting, yeah, and songs were still coming through.
Exactly, and I'm still enjoying that part of it, you know, really enjoying it, possibly more so in a way. You know, I really, really started to focus in a much different way. I started to be much more disciplined, putting time aside each day to write, partly to just get away from the but also just because I was in, you know, it was somewhere I could go to find my own space. That's true, you know, I won't deny that.
Me time.
Yeah, but also it was just like, you know, this is something I do really enjoy doing, so. This song is called Candles.
The stars are just like candles. She'll conduct the clouds to move at certain angles. Won't let a struggle get you down, down. Voices pull you over ground. You'll never fall from the morning light. It'll get to you if you just hold tight until the morning light. Though you've been cold right through to the bone, bone, bone. It's always safe and warm back home. Sun don't shine, but if it's out, I don't see the wind when it moves.
Song is called Magpie.
What a lie, what a lie, what a lie looks like.
when I open my mouth, what comes out is a folk voice, like folk songs. They come out of me. That's what naturally comes up. But I love dancing. And I would have put it as blankly or as plainly as that, as like, for me to allow myself to express clearly this voice that comes up, I would have felt pigeonholed to have done it in a most literal sense.
Right.
So I also just thought it would be really exciting. I was very into Screamadelica. I was very into, you know, it's true to say that Massive Attack had done, they did that Whale song. It was like a B-side, but still,
right,
they had done something there.
And have continued to work with singer-songwriters through the years.
So they were like doing the hip-hop, mixing hip-hop and so on. So I wasn't the first person, obviously, but I was, I think, to do it so particularly in the sense that I wanted Bert Jansch on guitar. Bert was busy, whatever, and not up for it. But Ted Barnes stepped in, and he was classically, I mean, I wanted him there because I wanted him to play mandolin, you know. And in the end, he ended up playing bouzouki as well. I mean, it couldn't have been more like, there was a straight traditional folk part of it that that kind of came through, and then mixed it with very like left of center electronic sounds and so on. And that really was probably quite unusual.
You know, you mentioned Bert, and in your time of you know, pondering as to where you were going to go, you connected with Bert, and he actually worked with you and taught you something and extended himself in terms of your playing.
We played together. I mean, we met at a gig, and the strange, we were sharing a dressing room, and him and his wife invited me for lunch, and I was like, hey, you could give me, you know, I was cheeky, and I was like, oh, give us, you know, maybe we could do guitar lessons together. And he's like, yeah, okay, yeah. And I was like, really? Okay. You know, excuse my French, but, you know, why did I suggest that? And next thing, we were around his house and we were playing songs, and we just, you know, used to play, and then everything, and then it started to be sort of more, he was having this record he was making, and so I suggested a cover of Katie Krull that I knew from Karen Dalton, and gave him my LP copy of that, and then he learned it, and then I sang it, and that became it. And then other things started to be for record, and then we'd do some gigs. But more than anything, I feel like I just gave myself over to Bert for a couple of years there. I was like, I don't know what to do with myself. I'll just hang out here, and we'll see what comes of this. And, you know, and that was, I had no idea that he was going to die like a couple of years later, and I had no idea that that would be the last record he ever made, and how poignant actually that time was going to be, you know. But it was a poignant time. I met them actually around the time of Comfort of Strangers, and then throughout my pregnancy and so on and beyond. This is called Dawn Chorus.
Dawn breeze brushed my cheek, and I knew what I had to leave. Dawn chorus came, chorus all wrapped up in your sheets. But in the noise there was silence, and what was left was absolute surprises. And you could swear that you could say that you could say that it was your door. I never knew, no, I had a clue, no, I never knew what this would be. All the stories people tell, and all the tales I heard from myself. It's best you know I ask a tall, soft flesh that beats neath your breath. But in the noise, there's always silence, and what is left comes on to surprise us. I'm as lonely as the sky beneath the noise. There's always silence, and what is death comes back to surprise us. And I can swear, I can swear, I can swear it was my Lord. I never knew where this would be going.
You're on the road, you have the family along, and you're
yeah,
that's got to be a new experience, right?
Yeah, it was so nerve-wracking, like the idea of it. Like the first 10 days of our tour, we had this bus which like had no suspension, no brakes, no nothing, and my baby's on the bus. I wouldn't let my daughter near it. She stayed with her dad and her grandparents in Washington, and I was just like, there's no way she's coming on this bus, you know what I mean? And that really put the fear of God in me. So like then we had this like week break in the middle, and we got the bus sorted out, and we got it to the point where it was safe enough for my daughter to come on it. But I have never been more scared. I literally didn't sleep for 10 nights worrying about my son. I was so frightening. And so that's a whole new, and then I got sick with this cold, because like he got cold and then I got cold, and yeah, all those things, right? You just don't think about. And then, but finally we got the bus sorted, we got a new driver, we got this lovely guy. He was like, I ain't driving that bus until the brakes are sorted. Got the brakes sorted, and suddenly it's a completely new experience. I got my daughter's little bunk all made up, and now I'm just like the last sort of 10 days of this
the
tour.
The wheels of the bus go round and round.
Exactly. It's just been heaven, because I got my family with me, you know, and it makes such a difference to have us all there.
Yeah. And I just in watching you tell that story, you know, as you got to the part of the new driver and the bus being proper, you started to beam, whereas before, there was a real chagrin on your face.
Yeah, it was so stressful, you know, just wondering, like, oh, my God. But it was, you know, and now we're just having, like, we've just been in the, we find things to do every day. Like, we were in San Francisco, we saw my old friend Dave Eggers, and we went to his pirate shop, and we went to see a chocolate factory, or here we'll just like make sure we go and find a nice place for lunch, and then we're feeding the ducks, and we're like, and every day you make something of it, and it's a very different tour experience.
We're glad that we're able to share that and have you come here today, and the show, of course, at the El Rey Theater. It's really been a pleasure, and I'm so glad to know that the families out there, while we had this little session together, the families out there, you know, with the loud ducks, you know, you're probably going broke at the moment, pumping quarters into the crack, you know, the crack machine for the ducks.
I've never heard such loud ducks in all my life, I swear to God. Such angry ducks.
Well, the sound you made today was anything but loud and angry. It was beautiful, and we want to thank Beth Orton for joining us today at 88.5 KCSN. Thank you.
Thank you.